but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Big news in Rip City today. The Portland Trail Blazers apparently being sold. Tom Dundon, who owns the Hurricanes of the NHL in Nashville, or excuse me, in Raleigh, he is the principal and majority owner and the biggest part of the ownership group. We'll at 5:20 be talking to the beat reporter who covers the Hurricanes in Raleigh, and we'll get an idea of what a Dundon-owned team looks like, acts like, thinks like. Blazer fans, I want to hear from you as well. In the meantime, I want to talk some college football with Yogi Roth of the Big Ten Network and Y Option on Substack. Yogi joining us live via satellite. Are you in Eugene? Are you headed to Eugene? What are you doing?
I am on my way. It's been an amazing couple days, man. Visiting three schools for the first time. Got to see Iowa in person. Got to see Wisconsin. Spent last night and this morning at Illinois, and just raced from Champaign to downtown Chicago. Hopped in a car, and I'm headed to the airport. Fly to Portland tonight. Hopefully get a little yoga session in, see my favorite coffee shop in the Portland area, and then drive on down to Eugene.
I like that. You think of coffee and yoga when you are thinking about Portland. Yogi, give us an idea of what Iowa is like. Oregon will travel to Iowa this year. What is that town like? I have not been there.
Oh, you're going to love it. Yeah, I mean, if hopefully you're going, man. It's really cool. I mean, you know, I think part of this realignment that I think fans have leaned into and all of college football is you get to see new places, right? Of course, teams are coming out west for obvious reasons, whether it's to see Austin or, you know, Seattle and Husky Stadium, or, of course, get to L.A. when it's freezing in the Midwest. But I think for fans going that way, a place like Iowa, it's really cool. You know, I got there, I walked right to the stadium because I wanted to see the Children's Hospital. I wanted to see the stadium. It's kind of like Ann Arbor in the Big House, where it's below, like, the ground level, if that makes sense. Like it's pretty cool in terms of just the layout of the stadium. The practice facility was extremely impressive, and the team, you know, it's kind of funny. I get to tour with Jerry DiNardo. He'll be in Eugene as well, and he's a legend at Big Ten Network. He's been there from day one. It's year 19, and I said, well, what do you think of Iowa? And he goes, every year. It's so consistent, like the drills they run, the way they practice, and this year I think that rung true. And then there's a little bit of a wrinkle with Mark Gronowski, the new quarterback, the former quarterback, of course, of Jimmy Rogers, now the head coach of Washington State. There's all these little ties all across the country that are fun to kind of weave through.
There are questions at Oregon about the quarterbacks. Dante Moore, we think he can do it. And Will Stein and that offense and the pieces around him, you know, maybe you or I could be plugged in there. We'd be just fine. But you know, what do you think of Dante at that position and that quarterback room in general at Oregon?
Yeah, I think Dante's a star. And I think Austin Novus had his chance to be one as well. Had both of them at the Elite 11 quarterback competition. You mentioned Y Option. Wrote a piece on Oregon, kind of like a deep dive season preview, if Duck fans are interested. I think what does Dante have when I look across the league and the country is he might have the most unique arm talent in the Big Ten. There's no reason to think that he can't be the next special one. And they've had two dramatically special ones the last two seasons, and Bo Nix, of course, and Dylan Gabriel. I don't know where they're at. I can't wait to get to practice and watch it and evaluate it. But I think that's his unique trait. And then I think for Austin, he's a baller. I mean, he'd start for a lot of teams in the Big Ten. I would argue that he'd start at, you know, maybe two of the three that I just visited over the last couple of days. So I don't know where they net out. Perfect world, Dante. Let's just say he wins the job, balls out, and decides, you know, he's ready to, for the next level. And there's Austin, who's really bided his time, something that we rarely see in college football. We see it at Texas with Archie's waited. I saw it at SC. I think that model's the greatest one for growth in terms of sitting, waiting, and then absolutely ripping it when it's your turn. So that's what I projected to be, but I haven't been to any practices. I don't really know, and I'm curious to kind of just get a feel for practice tomorrow when we get there.
How much patience do you think they would have with Dante Moore? You know, because that room's so deep, and I, you know, it's not just Austin Novosad. You know, you've got Luke Moga in there.
Luke Moga.
And yeah, I mean, in the spring game, you know, give me any of those guys, right? I think they can win 10 games with any of those guys.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think they might have the deepest quarterback room in the league. Yeah, I think Penn State's got a pretty deep room. So I'm kind of going through it over the top of my head. Like, you could argue Ohio State has two starters there. So they're competing for that. But you're right. With the Ducks, and you add in Akili Smith Jr., and just his raw ability, like another guy, if hopefully he sits and develops, and he's just got traits. I always say this about that position, and we've talked about it over the years. Like, to get in the conversation, you have to be an elite competitor, and I think dramatically accurate. Okay, check, check. And then you have to have a unique trait. And I think all of those three quarterbacks, at least, that we referenced, who we've seen perform at a pretty high level in the spring contest, they have that. Whether it's the athleticism of Luke, the discernment of Austin, and the unique arm talent of Dante. But to me, patience, it's such a fun question, because I think that the inverse of that, of like, how healthy is the environment that I'm in? And I think in all of the chaos in college football, at the quarterback position, I think players want, yeah, they want to play, but they also want stability. They want to feel that they're growing. And I feel this at this position in high school, it's the greatest development era in the history of that position. In college, you could argue the opposite, because so many guys want to play. You can transfer immediately. There's pressure to play star players earlier. And I think what Dan Lanning and Will Stein and company have cracked at Oregon is, no, look what happens when you do play here. It's okay to sit and wait and learn. And I can remember talking to Dante about that when he left UCLA, of he wanted to go somewhere and really be taught the position and really learn the craft of it, which is what he's done since he got to Eugene, and really just pouring into it, sitting in meetings, asking questions of Dylan or when Bo or when Herbert comes back. So I think they actually have a really healthy environment in that regard. So I think quarterbacks want patience. I think they want to be coached. I think the pressure around them is saying, no, you need to play now. You know, there's too many people, I think, in the ears of quarterbacks now. And we talk to every parent about them. I read them the stats from the book I wrote, 5-star QB, of, look, over 50% of your kids are going to transfer once, 20% are going to transfer twice, and only one 5-star quarterback in the history of the position never won a Super Bowl. It was Stafford in year two, or year 13, team two. And it hits them like cold water in the face. They're like, oh, wow. Like, the reality is, it usually doesn't work out. So if you can sit and be patient as the quarterback, let alone the coach. Coaches, I think, are always going to be that way, because they want to develop a holistic, healthy room. And I think that's what Dan Lanning has curated there, whether it's his DNA traits or the way that they communicate with the position, the players, the people around them. And I just think it's one of the healthiest environments in the entire country.
Yogi Roth with us, Big Ten Network, Y Option as well. Yogi, you know, Washington and Damon Williams Jr., I keep thinking that guy's going to steal a game or two this year, and they're going to surprise a little bit. But the offensive line may not be there. We may be a little ahead of schedule to consider them a contender. What do you do with Jed Fish's team in this second year in the Big Ten?
Oh, it's going to take a huge jump. There's one thing that we know for certain about Jed Fish, that he's proven that he knows how to build and or rebuild a program. I did their spring game. The offensive line was so much further ahead than where they were the previous spring. I mean, they could barely practice the previous spring. I'm going to go up there this weekend. They've got a scrimmage Saturday night. Can't wait to watch that. That's going to be the first group, because you're right, Damond is special. And I think that this is kind of, I think he'll get even more play this year around the country, but especially at the quarterback position of, yes, you want a guy who can play on time from the pocket. Yes, you want someone who can navigate the pocket and buy some time. And then you want somebody, when it breaks down, can they sign you a couple first downs a game? I think Damon Williams in the Big Ten is the most dynamic player from an athletic skill set trait standpoint among all of them. And he's a passer. He's not just a runner. I mean, we're not looking at Braxton Miller here. I mean, this is a guy who can drop back, read coverages, locate defenders, and throw accurate, you know, footballs to, whether it's a back out of the backfield, who Jonah Coleman might have the best hands at any running back in this league. Obviously, Denzel Boston, they got a litany of tight ends. So I think they'd be really competitive. And then I think from Jed Fish and Jimmy Doherty, the offensive coordinator, once they know what they have, they when you watch their games, they're really in bad plays. You think about it, like they're really just rarely putting their players in harm's way, meaning, okay, if we're struggling protecting on the edge, all right, what do we need to do? You know, how can we max protect and give ourselves a chance? And I think last year they were just, you know, they're so outmanned. I mean, look at the Oregon game, right? DeMond was sacked 10 times. I called their game against Indiana where they struggled protecting the passer. So they're not going to be Joe Moore Award semifinalists, I don't think, this year. But I think they make a dramatic jump. And something that I've heard on my training camp tour this year more than ever is playing experience on the offensive line. So a lot of these transfers, whether it's Isaiah World at Oregon or a variety of the ones that Jed Fish brought in, they started for multiple years at other colleges. And I think there's something to that at that position, like being, you know, being in the fire, seeing a variety of different looks coming off an edge, seeing loopers and twists and stunts. And I think that UW has made a big jump there and looking forward to seeing the little wrinkles that they'll add to this year in the run game and their pass protection.
Yogi, USC and Lincoln Riley, you know, how much patience will Jen Cohen have with him? What is a big year for USC? What does he do if, you know, if he just doesn't find traction? What do you make of what you see in LA there?
Yeah, it's a fun conversation for me, right? I'm going to be there next week. I'm calling their opener. I feel like I've called their spring game or opener for the last 15 years. And, you know, I spent obviously 4 years on the staff there. So I feel like I have a pretty good pulse on what's going on there. And I think for Lincoln, from my purview, he's kind of had two bites at the apple here. So what does that mean? When he got the job, he had the best player in the world, and they hit it, right? They hit lightning in a bottle, and away they go, and he gets injured in the Pac-12 title game. Utah goes on the run, and we kind of know what happened from there. The next year, they tried to obviously capitalize on the greatest player in the country coming back in Caleb Williams, and they went portal and really struggled. This is all notable. He talked about it on my podcast, talked about it with many people. And then they hit the reset button, and that's where I think they got like the 2.0 version of Lincoln Riley, where they said, okay, we're going to change the staff, bring in Dan Lynn, out goes former defensive staff, and let's have a foundational year. That's what I kept calling last year, a foundational year for them, meaning let's just reset the foundation, recruit high school at a higher clip, not live in the portal, but just supplement in the portal, and let's build this thing into the thing that we know it can be. And then you look at coming into this year, and I think they've done that, right? You look at the one-score games they were in a year ago. I think you've got to look at it both ways, but even if you're a pessimist, I think you can't argue that they were in all those games late. Like, they had chances, and they didn't have a first-round pick. Their highest draft pick was a nickel defender, right? They didn't have the elite talent that Ohio State had, Oregon has, et cetera. Now, heading into this year, I think they've upgraded the talent. I think now they've upgraded the front office. Remember, SC was so far behind in the NIL world. I mean, they just weren't necessarily leaning into that. I mean, there was so much red tape based on the previous sanctions they were hit with, the conservative approach that they took towards collectives, and they just got rolled early on in that regard. And now look at what they're doing. Chad Bowden, the general manager, the recruiting class they put together, and then you add in the contract that Lincoln Riley has and at least the reported amount of money that he's making. And I think for this team, they're only going to take positive steps. Now, schedule isn't a layup, but it isn't as challenging as it was last year. So I look at, like, their game against Michigan State and Jonathan Smith in, I think, September 20th. And then the next week at Illinois. And then it's Michigan, Notre Dame, Nebraska. Like, that is a four-game stretch that I think will set the narrative. And I do think they'll hang on to their recruits. I think, at worst, I think they'll split those games. Maybe they can end up 3-1. Maybe, God, can you imagine they go to Notre Dame and get a win against a team went to the national championship, you know, less than a year ago? It would just set LA on fire and really affirm everything Lincoln Riley has said. So I think that's how they could let it play out. They've given them every resource. They have capitalized on those resources, have a new facility coming. I think they'll take a next step, and I'm looking forward to watching them because I still do want to see, like, who's the game wrecker? Who is the first-round pick? Who's the guy that I know when he touches the ball is Joe McKnight, is Reggie, is, you know, C.J. Gable. Like, think of the names of the past. He's going to score every time he touches it. We thought it'd be Zach Riot Branch. Didn't happen last year. So I'm curious for that. And then the growth of Jaden Mayava. And I think they'll put it together. I don't know if they're a playoff, like, lock team, but I think when I look at the Big Ten, in that fourth slot, Illinois, Nebraska, SC, you can make a case for Minnesota. Like, there's a couple teams, I think, there. If you think Indiana, it's getting overlooked in my eyes. And if that league's going to get four playoff teams, which I think is a pretty fair assessment to say, then the Trojans, I think, should be in the mix for that this season.
Yogi Roth with us, Big Ten Network. Yogi, who do you like to win the Big Ten? Who's in the title game in your mind?
You know, I don't know, man. I think it's, to me, I kind of try to do it where you kind of pick the games before training camp, then I'll go home and I'll do it again after what my eyes told me. But, you know, I think Ohio State is still so supremely talented. I was at Penn State last week. They're dramatically, I mean, the defensive front, the offensive line, they've upgraded at wide receiver. I'm a Drew Aller believer. Look at their two running backs. They're a team that I think it's hard to to overlook.
Sure.
And then I look at Oregon. I mean, those three rosters are better than everybody else's roster. So they all don't play each other, right? We know that. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it shakes out as Oregon goes there early on in the either Dante Moore, Austin Novosad, Luke Moga era. But I don't know. I guess Penn State, Ohio State, Oregon, two of those three I could see. But after seeing Illinois like hours ago, I wouldn't be shocked. Man, they got a good schedule. Their offensive defensive fronts look the part. They don't have 12 of them, but they look the part. So, I don't know. Give me another week, and I'd probably give you a better assessment.
I love that. Yogi Roth, find him at the Y Option on Substack. Enjoy the yoga and coffee, my friend. Thank you for joining us.
You got it, brother. Talk to you soon.
All right. There he goes, Yogi Roth, Big Ten Network. He's headed to Eugene to see what he thinks of the Ducks. Stick around in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to go out to Raleigh, North Carolina, figure out what this new ownership group is like, and the Blazers in transition. Leave it here. You got the BFT.